Our Father and our God, we thank you and we say, hallowed be your name. Glory be to the Lord. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and the glory, the power, the majesty and dominion. All of the glory belongs to you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth, and indeed anywhere else, belongs to you. And for your pleasure and for your glory, all things are and were created. We also, Lord, exist at the pleasure of the Lord. We thank you. Today, as always, we declare the entrance of your word. It will bring light to us and give us understanding. And also, we pray, Lord, that the words of our mouth, meditations of our hearts, everything we do be acceptable unto you, Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I just want to talk to you a little bit today. Praise the Lord. A follow-up on yesterday's room. We finished tried to finish up Romans chapter 16 with greetings and appreciations to personal and ministry helpers. And, a little follow-up on that today. I didn't actually intend for the room to go that way that it went yesterday. And I was just going to read through the scriptures and, just thank everybody and so forth. And I meant to thank the people, not for the people to be thanking me, because what was in my heart and appreciation of all, everyone that stood behind us in this ministry. And I know that, I may have forgotten one or two names here and there. That happens when you're calling out names, but truly, truly, wanted to give appreciation to the Lord and to all the people for everything that you've done in standing with us. Praise the Lord. I want to read just a quick psalm of praise, and we want to always give all the glory to the Lord. It's not really unto us, but unto him be all the glory. Unto the Lord be all the glory. All the great things are just there. What is it that we are thankful for? Well, we'll talk about that a little bit again today. Not unto us, not unto us, O Lord, Psalm 115, but unto thy name we give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. That's right. We give the Lord the praise and we give the Lord the glory for everything, because the Lord has been our help and he has been our shield. Even on this platform, as we read in this psalm, say, O Israel, or walking with God, trust ye in the Lord, for he is our help and our shield. Glory to God. He has been our help and he has been our shield. The Lord has been mindful of us. He has blessed us. He has blessed this walking with God platform. Has blessed those that put their trust in him. And he says here, the Lord shall increase you more and more. You and your children, you are blessed of the Lord. Well, the Lord has been increasing us, and we give God the praise and give God the glory. I'm going to read Psalm 67. I enjoin everybody to praise the Lord. Say, our God has been merciful to us. I read it that way. And he has blessed us. He has caused his face to shine upon us. He has made known his way, even his saving health unto us. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For the Lord shall judge righteously and govern the nations upon earth. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people And I say this way, let all the people give praise to the Lord. Let all the people praise the Lord. He said, well, when we do that, then shall the earth yield her increase. And our God, even our God, shall bless us even the more. For he has blessed us, but he shall bless us even the more as we praise him and make his praise glorious. So let all the people praise him. I want to talk to us just a few minutes, just, you know, heart to heart, chat for a little bit. Just give him praise and glory. And a review of Romans chapter 16. As we were going through Romans chapter 16, we saw what Paul was doing there, dedicating a whole chapter to thanking and appreciating the people who had been by his side and supported him through the ministry. And we thought, you know, I thought that it was a good thing for, you know, to do that, you know, from time to time, to appreciate the people that have done good things. Not wait until they are passed on or are dead. A lot of times, you know, people would sing the praises of people only after they are dead. I mean, what good is that? That's not going to encourage them to keep doing more. You know, tell them, you know, while they are alive, you know, and then don't wait until, I mean, people come with these eulogies and different things, you know, after, you know, when people are being buried and they say all kinds of things, which they never told them in their lifetime, you know. And I believe that, you know, when people are good and they're doing well, well, we are to appreciate them. You know, the Bible says that we should be thankful, thankful in all things, thankful to the Lord and thankful to those who are also helping us in our lives or helping us in the ministry and personal helpers. You know, God has raised up in many times, you know, personal helpers in our life. I call them destiny helpers. Even though we know the glory belongs to the Lord, we should also thank the people that he's using to do these things. I mean, God, they have a choice. They can say no. They're not going to do it. Even the Lord tell them to do something, they can say no. But the Lord inspired them to do something, and they did it. Therefore, we praise the Lord, and we thank the people. You know, so, you know, that's the way, you know, life ought to be. And when we give thanks like that, praise to the Lord and thank the people, the intent is to, you know, appreciate and encourage people to keep doing, you know, what they are doing. So that they will not be weary in well-doing. We don't want people to say, well, you know, I'm not appreciated and so forth. People do say that at times. They say, well, I'm not appreciated and so forth. You know, no. We truly appreciate everyone that's been on this platform, being a part of the ministry. What is the ministry? Well, I want to put it out there on record, you know, so that I'm sure that everybody that's presently here at the moment knows what this ministry is all about, you know, but, you know, just in case, let's put it out there. The ministry is called Walking with God. And what is that all about? Well, it's all about exactly what it says. It's walking with God. Patterned after Enoch. He was the first man or first person that we hear of the scripture as walking with God. And we saw that in his time, that was not an easy thing. He was a trailblazer because around him, you know, people had started to lose the glory of God, and people had started to be disengaged, you know, from the Spirit of God. So he determined in his heart that he was going to seek the Lord. Yeah, and he was about 65 years old, we read, when he started to seek the Lord and started to walk with God. And what exactly is walking with God? Well, you know, according to you know, the book of Amos, we are told that two cannot walk together except they be agreed. Amos chapter 3 and verse 3. It's a question. Can two walk together except they be agreed? No. So for us to walk with God, we must be in agreement with God, not the other way around. It's not God that needs to agree with us. No. We need to be in agreement with Him because He is the Lord. We were created for His pleasure. It's His world and it's, you know, it's His rules. And He's the one that reigns supreme. And so, you know, we need to be in alignment with Him. And that's what walking with God is about, discovering our purpose through life and in the pursuit of holiness and the glory of God, you know, every day. And we try to be conscious of it. I mean, perhaps there are some moments when we are, you know, so carried away with other things. You're on the job, you're in the school, you're taking exams, you're doing this and that. You may not be, you know, engaged in that moment in thinking about the pursuit of the Lord. But I guarantee you, you know, if we train our minds, we can always be in the Spirit, even regardless of whatever else you're doing and whatever else is going on around you. So this walking with God is a journey. It's a lifetime journey. For many of us, it started sometime at the time when we gave our lives to Christ. For some people, it did not even start then, because they probably gave their life to Christ, but didn't know what in the world that meant. You know, and it took some time for us to discover what that actually meant. It wasn't just, you know, going to church, being, you know, a good person, so to speak. And this and that. We see that those things could not really change our nature. But, you know, at some point in time in your life, and there's a hope that the people who are here, you make that discovery that there is more to life than just coasting along. And you say, wow, you know, I need to find this out for myself. Which was the thing that Enoch did. He needed to find out for himself. You know, as I guarantee you, he had questions just like the others who were before him. He was the seventh generation, the seventh from Adam. And they used to live very long in those days. And I am sure each one of them had questions because, you know, they saw this place that they couldn't go into. And they saw the, the cherubims with the fiery sword, and they must have had questions. What mean these things? Adam would have told them this, you know, what happened. But as I often say, for every one of those people, you know, that was before Enoch, the stories that Adam told them made no impact on them at all. See? They all heard the same stories, but it made no impact. But here comes one guy. His name is Enoch. And he would ask the same questions that others before him had asked. And for some reason, something sparked in him. What are these things? Grandpa, or whatever they call him those days. What are they trying to prevent? Why can't we go in there? Say, well, son, you can't go in there. It's over. What's over? And he could ask many questions, and Adam would tell things, same stories that the other people before him had heard. But this young man, you know, at age 65 in those days, you were still a baby, because they lived, many of them, hundreds of years. So it was like, well, Adam would tell. Adam would tell of his experiences, you know, how all the animals were subject. At this time, the animals were already getting wild and so forth. You mean, at one time, you know, you could command those animals? They all obeyed you? I said, yeah. You could go under the sea? You could do any of these things? Yeah. You could even talk to the fish? You could talk to the birds? Yeah. You named all those things? Yeah. Where'd you get the knowledge from? You know how children ask so many questions. And, you know, every time he would ask, and something would spark in him. Some interest would spark in him. Now, I say that to say this. When we hear things about God, you know, it's supposed to generate some interest, spark something in us. Now, you may hear it on this platform. You may hear it in your local church. You may hear it listening to some preacher. You know, but when you do, when you hear something that's inspiring like that, what exactly does it inspire? Is it how you can get your next promotion? This is the thing. You can buy your next car. You can take that next travel around the world, take that next vacation and do this, that, or that next thing. I mean, you know, most of the time, that's how people engage. When God is really moving, you know, and I've noticed this, when you're in the assembly and God is really moving, and if we notice that the prayer that people are praying at that time is, God give me this and God give me that. And hardly people pressing in into his glory. We're just looking for what we can get, you know, from God. And, but this young man, he wasn't like that. His name was Enoch, because he wanted to know more. So he said, you know, I gotta get into that place. And I'm saying, you can't go there. How many times he gonna tell you? You can't go in there. See those things over there? Well, they're making sure that we can't come close. But what exactly are they keeping us from? Well, there's a tree of life in there. And we, you know, we should have taken of the fruit and eaten of it, but now God drove us out, so we can't do it. And what's that tree of life supposed to do? Adam would say what he thought he knew. He said, and you mean we can't have access to that tree of life? No. But what did God say? Well, God said, you know, there was this other thing we shouldn't have done. And if we did it, we were going to die. And we did it. And God said we would die in the day. But you are not dead yet. Yeah, but God said we would die. So we're waiting to die. Oh, so you're just going to sit around and wait to die? Well, that's what God said. God said in the day that we do it, we would die. So we know we're going to die. Enoch said, well, we'll see about that. You know, because I see you're still here and you're not dead yet. Well, God said we would die. So I don't know what it means. Adam would say, but we're waiting to die. And every one of them was waiting around to die. But this young man said, well, we're going to see about that. And something sparked in him. He wanted to find out. And he would do his own quest. He would do his own search. And he began to pursue God, began to ask things of God. You know. And that's what this walking with God is all about. You know, so when something sparks in you, begin to pursue God. Begin to ask things of God. See what he will show you. And God showed Enoch many things. Many things. I mean, in the book of Jude 14, we read that, you know, Enoch, you know, prophesied of some things. And, you know, I read that and I say, well, how in the world did Enoch know about Christ? How did he even know that the Lord would be coming with 10,000 of his saints? He said, Enoch prophesied that. There was not even, you know, hardly 100 people in the world at the time that of Enoch. But yet he was prophesying that Christ was coming back with 10,000 of his saints. How did he know that? Well, I guarantee you, when you are on that quest to know him, and when that is the purpose in your heart is chiseled, with that purpose, God will show you things. God began to show this Enoch things. And he began to see things beyond the natural that all the others, you know, were just looking on natural things. He began to see, and he wanted more of God. And he began to understand that death came, this death, this sentence of death that God put on them came through disobedience. And that, you know, right now the hearts of the people were turning towards darkness. Now God began to show him that, look, over here, where you are now, well, there's disobedience, there's darkness, there's death and unrighteousness. But over here, where I am, this is where I want you to be. I wanted to be where you were, was where I was, or where you were. And, you know, over here is life, righteousness, and, you know, is the good things of God, light. God began to show him about the difference between darkness and light. You say darkness and light? Yeah. Because you think of it as a spectrum. Over on the far left are those negative things that are described. The death, the darkness, disobedience. And over on the right is the light, the life, and righteousness. And so, he knew that he had to press toward that light. And the rate at which darkness was creeping up over those people, they could not outpace death. This judgment was upon them. They could not outrun it. They could not outpace it. You know, the light of God that was in them was fizzling out. And they could not get out of it. It was like they were in prison and they could get out of it. This man figured out somehow how to break away from that darkness and press toward that light. And that the more he was seeking God, the more the Lord was revealing things to him. And he had to overcome a lot of challenges too. The Bible said that, you know, he had sons and daughters and different things. So it wasn't like, you know, he had nothing to deal with. He had to deal with all of that. He had to deal with the same things that we're dealing with, well, possibly today, you know, raising children, doing all these things. But yet, you know, his heart was united with the Lord. And in the pursuit, as he was getting farther away from the darkness and closer to the light, he was actually able to outrun that death. That's right. Being changed from glory to glory, glory to glory, glory to glory. You know, and you know, one day the Lord was showing him what was ahead. And he knew that I gotta get into that light. I mean, he would see that, you know, it was like, it was something like a mirage or a horizon. I mean, every time he tried to get close, it looks like he was still farther out. But he kept pressing. He was not discouraged. He would not give up. And God was changing him, you know. He had to shed every aspect and every ounce of that darkness. According to 1 John 1 and 5, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So he knew that he'd got to get in there. As he was getting closer, being changed, 2 Corinthians 3 and 18, glory to glory, one day, glory to God. You know, there was just one last thing. You know, there was always, yet thou lackest one thing. Well, there were many things that the Lord was showing him, and he was dealing with it and pressing in and pressing in. One day, he overcame it all. Glory to God. And Jesus said, he that overcometh shall inherit all things. And the last ounce of darkness, the day that Enoch overcame that and was completely changed to light, he was gone. That's it. Because the earth could not hold him again. It was, you know, he was infused into God. God took him. Because now there's no darkness anymore in him. Remember, the only way we can be fully joined to the Lord is expunge all that darkness. Because when you read 1 John 1 and 5, it will tell you, you know, this then is the message we heard from him from the beginning, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. So anyone that wants to be fully joined with the Lord like that must expunge all the darkness and through the help and work of the Holy Spirit. And when this man finally got transfigured into complete light, he was absorbed inside of God, you know, and he was gone. That's it. I believe that that's the pursuit that walking with God represents. So, there you have it. That's what it's all about. And since we started, God has helped us. You know, it started as a thought, something that the Lord dropped in the mind. And we started to develop it. And here we are today. Along the way, we've seen things, and we are still breaking forth. Isaiah talked about breaking forth on the left and on the right. Really, you can do it with no limits if you trust the Lord. The Lord is giving us the grace that we can actually break forth. Yeah. And God has spoken many things to us on this platform in that regard. The emerging and all of that, you know, is to break forth. You know, he said, enlarge the place of thy tent. Isaiah 54, we talked about enlargement. We talked about establishment. We did that. We talked about empowerment. We did that. Now, we're talking about enlargement. Enlarge the place of your tent. And somebody said, well, what is establishment? What is empowerment? Well, I explained that before, but establishment is how we got started. The Lord established us, gave us a charter for this room. Okay. And we knew what we had to do. We knew that we had to come in here and command the womb of the morning. We also knew that we had to do it every morning because the Lord gave us charge for that. Leviticus 6:13 said it. The fire must not go out. The priest must burn wood upon the altar every day. It must be continually burning. It must not put out. You know, he told us that. And we knew that. So we got that charge. So we established and we started with that. The Lord gave us that scripture. It was one of the two scriptures that the Lord gave us as a charge for the room. So that was the establishment. You know, the other charge he gave us was in Psalm 110, you know, and verse 3 said that people shall be willing in the day of thy power. You know, so we knew that, look, God's going to put, because Philippians 2 and 13 tells us that, look, for us to do anything that God's putting in our heart, we have to not understand that it is from God to even have the desire to do it and then the capacity to carry it out, to will and to do. Comes from God. So, what the Lord said, the Lord shall be willing. I mean, the people shall be willing in the day of thy power. You know, so this thing that we are pursuing God, should he be merciful unto us and reveal it to us, he also will make us willing. And in the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning. So we knew that, you know, this had to be a morning thing. Because the Lord gave the scriptures and put it all together and say, well, yeah. Got to be a morning thing. The morning, you got to come in here, command the womb of the morning. God asked Job, as I've commanded the morning since that days. And I said, well, that means you can actually do it. You know, because the Lord revealed to me all those questions he asked Job, those hard questions. So actually things, you know, that God can give you understanding and capacity about. I said, wow, so we can actually do that. And I said, yeah. So we come out here in the mornings and we do these things and so forth. You know, that's the establishment. Well, what about the empowerment? Well, empowerment was, you know, once we got going, you know, we empowered speakers, moderators, and things like that. We gave people the ability to speak boldly. You know, we even inspired our sisters and our women. I talked about that yesterday and how some of them powerfully engaged that empowerment. You know, sometimes some of them still hang out in the wings, but, you know, they've been empowered. Yeah, everybody. So that makes this, you know, platform kind of unique. And always, every single day, every single day, you know, open it up for people, you know, to participate in what we call the shares and so on and so forth, you know, that which every joint supplied. And we did that, you know, for a couple of years. And now the Holy Spirit says, well, it is time. Isaiah 54 says, it is now time for you to enlarge. So you've done the establishment, you've done the empowerment, you now have to do the enlargement, you know. So God began to put it in our hearts. We were thinking about it. But, you know, when the idea was still forming, I kind of see what the Lord would do, you know. Habakkuk said, well, I will stand upon my watch and see what the Lord will answer me. You know, so we stood on our watch and see, well, what's the Lord going to say? Let's see how he's going to go with this thing. You know, and then the next thing we know, he said, well, stretch forth the curtains. You know, spare not. That means, you know, let nothing hold you back at, you know, any cost. Go forward, he said. Spare not. He said, oh, lengthen your course. Strengthen your stakes. So, well, how do we do that? He said, well, you will break forth on the right hand and on the left. So we said, oh, well, that means, you know, you got to expand the platform on the left, on the right. What? You got to go on the web. You know, you can't stay only on this clubhouse. You got to go on this and that. And you got to make the vision known. And so we began to do that. So that's what the ministry is all about. And throughout all those phases, and even now, there are people that have been with all of you, have been with us. So that's what we were doing yesterday, trying to just acknowledge everybody. I wasn't looking for anybody to be thanking me, you know, and it went actually in the opposite direction of what I was looking for. I was just trying to thank the people, not for the people to thank me, but to thank the people that have been with us, because that's what Paul did, a whole chapter. Just thanking everybody, calling out their names. There are some that he didn't remember. You know, say, oh, yeah, that person and their sister. That one person and the saints, you know, because he didn't remember everything. But he tried as much as he could to remember everybody and put it all out there. And so that's what we were doing yesterday. Just thank the people that have stood with us in the ministry and continue to stand with us in the ministry. Be thankful. Means thankful to God and thankful to people. So again, our thanks go out to everybody. And should I have missed any names yesterday, it was not intentional. At first, I was just looking at the people on stage, and then I would remember some names here and there and so forth. You know, so we call out the names the best we could. And I thank everybody. And, you know, there's one thing also we spoke to, you know, because there are two things that we're doing on this platform. We're doing the work of the ministry, but we're also empowering people. See, we are enabling people for ministry. The Lord has shown me that for years. You know, that's why, you know, by the grace of God, I do what I do. I do it the way I do it. Always carry people along. Always enable them. Here, the church and everything. The Bible said, you know, don't seek only your own, seek others, you know, and you know, not preferring one another. And always, always, you know, because according to the book of Ephesians chapter 4, the ministry, you know, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, in, you know, upon people to carry out ministry. You know, here are the things that he says that, you know, it's all about. You know, he said, number one, for the perfecting of the saints. That's number one. So that means, look, when we are in ministry such as this, we have got to, you know, as the scripture says in 1 Corinthians, it said, look, for as much as you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the body of Christ. That's something that has stayed with me since my youth and up. Whatever we do must be to edify the people. Not to edify ourselves, but to edify the people and to glorify God. So, perfecting the saints, that means building up the saints, equipping them for ministry. The people that come on this platform, they can take the word of God that they are blessed with here and go out and do the same. So that's what Paul said to Timothy. Be careful to give this word to people that can use it and run with it. You know, and God told Habakkuk the same thing. Write the vision. Make it plain so that people can run with it. And so that's part of the work of the ministry. In fact, the focus of it is enable the people with the word of God so they can also run with it. You know, so it blesses my heart, you know, when I see that people are out there preaching the word and using the same word that we're learning here. That's the principle that Paul taught Timothy. You share it with faithful men who can also share it with others, and on and on and on. And it's for the glory of God. It's not competition. It's for the glory of God. That's how we do it. You know, so when we see people take the word of God from here and go out and use it, maybe on this platform, maybe somewhere else, it's all good. That's what it's all about. That's the perfecting of the saints, the building up of the body of Christ. They call it the edifying of the body of Christ, you know, getting them ready for ministry. For the work of the ministry, he said also. Well, the work that we are doing here, and also the enabling of people to go out and do the same. It's all the work of the ministry and the edifying of the body of Christ. And what's, you know, how long must we do it? Well, until we get there, we keep doing it. You know, in the unity of the faith, we keep doing it. But coming, we must get to the fullness of the knowledge of the Son of God. We got to get there. Unto a perfect man. That's the goal. You know, we got to get from the profane place, the outer court. We got to get to the holy place, and we got to get to the most holy place. You know, we can't stop at 30-fold. We can't even stop at 60-fold. We got to get to the 100-fold. It's the one-on-one place in the most holy place, the one-on-one situation that you are in with the Lord. So bridal union, you know, with the bridegroom. It's only one person. You know, you're there, full concentration on him. You know, and that's the perfect man. That's the end state. And what does the end state look like when you compare it to Christ? Well, it's just like Christ. You know, it looks like it's a measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Well, can you measure it? Well, God can. But that's what we will look like, because that's what he said, Romans 8 and 29. For whom he did foreknow, them he also called. You know, he called us. And he called us, and he preordained us to be conformed to the likeness of Christ. And that's what he called us to be. That's why we always, in many of our messages, always go back to the beginning to see what God said, what he had in mind. That's when you see the first things out of God's mind, then you will know what he must have had in mind. And that's how we do it. We look at what he said. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, that they may have dominion. So when we read it like that, then we understand, you know, what was in the mind of God. Praise the Lord. You know, so now, that being said, we look at the what God predetermined that we should be. He said, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. So this measure of the stature of Christ, God already predetermined that that will be our end state. That's what predestinate means. He predetermined beforehand that that is our final destination. We're going to be like the Christ. So this pursuit, this working with God, the end state is not for us to, you know, acquire money and wealth upon the earth and all that. You know, those who come along for the furtherance of the kingdom, but that's not what we're looking for. We're looking for how to be like Christ. So that's what was in his mind. Be like Christ. You will be like Christ as a measure of the stature of his fullness. Well, and so the more that, you know, people take this message and run with it, the better for the glory of God. Praise God. So I don't like what others might think or do. You know, I think, you know, striving for competition and so on. The Bible says no. We must not be desirous of vainglory. We are here to empower the people. Take it. Use it for God's glory. It's all about him. Praise God. And for those who are taking it and using it and standing here with us, we appreciate you. Father, I want to thank a lot of people, you know, for standing here with us. You know, some of you are ministers in your own rights, but yet you come here to stand with us. Not a lot of people would do that. You know, people, you know, don't like to submit themselves, you know, and they wouldn't do it. But you are here, and we appreciate it. So that's what yesterday's lesson was all about. You know, appreciate the people who are standing with us in the ministry, not for me to be appreciated. It turned out that people were sending me messages or writing messages, and so that was not what was in my heart. My heart was to thank the people. And because people were thanking me, I've got to return the glory to God. See, that's how it works. You know, I've learned that in the ministry. You really can't prevent what people are going to do. You can try and tell them not to do it, but they will do it. You know, when you tell them not to, you know, applaud you too much, people will still do it because they also think in their heart, just like we read yesterday, that you've got to hold their preachers and their teachers in high honor. So they do that. So good. Well, fine. No problem. You didn't ask for it. They did it. Then you must turn around and give the glory to God. That's how we do it in the ministry. And well, that's how it should be done. Not everybody does that, but that's how it should be done. And I've learned to do that. So I return today. I've come back today to give all the glory. Now, some people gave testimony. You know, in fact, one person said something that said, I said, wow, you know, and it was almost, it reminded me of, you know, what the psalmist said, you know, Psalm 119, it's a powerful 170 something verses, but every one of those verses was talking about his attitude towards the word of God. And so powerful. And people ought to really study that, you know. And he talked about, you know, how he rejoiced at the word of God, you know. Even as someone that won the lottery or found a great spoil, you know. And somebody actually said something almost like that yesterday. And I said, oh my goodness. And I remembered what the psalmist said. And I said, well, what do? Well, we return the glory to God. Psalm 119 and verse 162 said exactly what a sister said yesterterday. She said, well, coming to this room was like me hitting the jackpot. And I said, my goodness, I never heard that before. And then the Holy Spirit, yeah, you heard it. And it reminded me of this verse. Because that's exactly what the psalmist said. He said, well, I rejoiced at the word of God as someone that found great spoil. I said, wow. You know, so we got to give that glory to God. That glory doesn't belong to me. You know, let me tell you why it doesn't belong to me. What if I opened my mouth and no words came? The words that came were confusing and gibberish. You know, then how would he bless somebody? So the inspiration of the Almighty, you know, is not, you know, the praise of that does not go to the one that is inspired. It goes to the one that does the inspiring, you know. So when the Lord inspires us and we bring the word of God, he gets all the glory. Praise the Lord. Now, I did bring out that yesterday, not so that people could turn around and praise me or whatever, but we have to teach what the scripture teaches. And I was actually saying it for you to do that in your local assemblies. honor your ministers that preach the word. Don't just take them lightly because a lot of work. So that was my intent. Not, you know, that people should start thanking me and stuff. But I appreciate you just like you appreciated me. But I want to return all the glory to God for all that he has done. And again, I want to thank everybody that's been with us through the ministry. Now, phase three is where we are now. So roll up your sleeves now. We're not done by any means. We've only just started. Let me read it to you again. For thou shalt break forth on the left and on the right. That's it. So we're breaking forth now. It's a time of the breaking forth. You know, there are seasons and that God appoints, you know, to everything there is a season, every purpose, there's, you know, time and season to it and so forth. So God has appointed this time of breaking forth, you know, and here we are. We're not going to look at the clouds or regard the winds, because if you do that, you'll not do anything. He that regarded the clouds and the winds, they will not do anything. What does that mean? Well, that means you look at all the discouraging things that could discourage you. You say, well, it looks like it's going to rain today, so you'll not go out to go and sow anything. Because the wind is going to carry away my seed, you know. It's windy, it's blowing, it's lowry, it's going to rain, it's going to be miserable today. You know, so, well, if you are thinking that, well, scripture says you will not do anything, you know, but you got to look beyond all that, because as long as you are still doing that, don't worry about the rain. The rain will do its thing. Let me read it to you in Ecclesiastes, 11 verses 3 and 4. Say, look, if the clouds be full of rain, well, they're going to empty themselves on the earth. That's what the clouds do. And that's what rain does. So what? And if the tree fall on the south, on the north, wherever the place it falls, it's where it's going to be. So why are you worried about that? The tree will do its falling. The cloud will do its thing. So what? I'm going to do my thing. That's what he's saying. Now, but if you stand back and you're observing the wind, then you shall not sow. And if you don't sow, you will not reap. You know, so he that observeth the wind will not sow. He that regardeth the clouds will not reap. So we can, when you are launching out, and again, learn wisdom of this even for your personal ventures. Now, we spoke about a message, like this a few days ago about, you know, you got to step out in faith, keep your eyes on the Lord. Same kind of concept. You know, when you, whether you're stepping out personally or stepping out in the ministry, you got to do it by faith. But you got to keep your eyes on the Lord. Now, when the Lord commands you, now you can't do it until he commands you. You know, how can they go except they be sent? According to Romans chapter 10. But once you have sent, then your commander is, you have told you, go forward. Regardless of the clouds, regardless of the giants on the way, regardless of anything. And so now it is time for us to go forward. And we're going forward, conquering and to conquer in a good way. You know, we're going to take, you know, the message to the web. And we're going to go to, you know, social media and so on. Not to be social. You know, I have no interest in those kind of things. But, you know, to reach people, reach more people for Christ. Praise the Lord. Now, so it is time for us to roll up our sleeves. And there be some of you here, actually. I want to read to some of our, you know, old timers that have seen and enjoyed the glory of God in the past. Let me read this to you, what Haggai said. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet and said, you know, well, those of you that were around for a while, you know, how do you see this house right now? Have you seen this house that is lying waste while everybody else is minding only their own thing? I said, well, how do you see this house now? Because some people say, well, you know, there's a lot of things the Lord did in the past. There's a lot of things the Lord's going to do future. And the Lord said, you know, you got to get up now, go up, get the wood, and build the house. He said, because, you know, I'm going to do a great thing in this place. I'm going to give peace, said the Lord. And the glory of this latter will be greater than the first. Who among you were there in old times that saw, you know, what the Lord did in his former glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not even in your eyes as though it was nothing compared to the before? Well, the Lord said, let me tell you this. It may be so now, but I'm doing a work. Glory to God. So you got to roll up your sleeves, you know. You got to roll up your sleeves and get up, bring wood, and build. And so that's what we got to do now, you know. And the things that God has done, which we're still, some of us are still looking for even things to match, some of the things God did in the past by God's grace that we experienced, you know. Well, the Lord promised that he will not only do the same, that he will surpass it. He can surpass it because he promised it. And that's what we are looking for. So, let me read it to you in Haggai chapter 2 and verse 3. Who is left among you that saw this house in its first glory? And, you know, how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes now as comparison to it as of nothing and even contemptible? I mean, we don't see the glory of God, the power of God like we used to see sometimes, but we are seeing it in some places, a little here, a little there, but not quite like a flurry like we used to see back then. And, but the Lord says, well, when he returns, it shall come like a flood. Now, when you see it, though, like this, what are you going to do about it? That's the question. What are you going to do about it? You know, so well, that's what it tells you to do. It says, be strong now. You know, be strong. And you people and the people of the land, and work. That's what he said. You know, in Haggai chapter 2 and verse 4. You got to be strong. You got to work. For I am with you, saith the Lord. That's right. You got to work. And what is the work? Well, that's what we're trying to do now. Spending time to extend the ministry, expand the ministry, and do all of these things and so forth. That's the work. That's the phase that we are going into. But along the way, we must be thanking God and praising him. Thank him for what he has already done. Enter this way into his presence. You know, so we thank him for what he has done. We return all the glory to him. And we look forward to greater things. You know, to God be all the glory. Great things he has done and greater things he will do. And as long as it is called today by the grace of God, we have the breath in me, say, while I have my being, well, because Jesus himself said, he said, look, are there not 12 hours in the day? Well, then say, what? Walk, because they counted their days, you know, like that. Walk while it is day, because the night is coming when no man can work. So, and every one of us go through those cycles in our life. You know, when you're young and energetic, those of you who are younger here on this platform, you know, you can get in there. You know, John wrote to them and said, look, you young men, I've written to you because you are strong and you are powerful. You are anointed. You overcome the devil. I mean, young people, strength is on their side. That's why revival in dispensational revivals usually come through the youth, because they are strong. They can do things. Praise the Lord. But those of us who are a little older, let me remind you that the Lord can renew your strength. Let us be like Caleb. You know, because Caleb's claim was that at 85 years old, he was still as strong as he was when he was 40. It took him 45 years, really, to get the promise that was promised him that he would get the place. You know, so I don't know if anybody is here that is 85 years old. I am not. So if this man could say that, you know, at 85 years old, he's still strong to go out as he was, you know, when he was 40. Well, let's see what we can do too. Let me read it to you in Joshua chapter 14. Praise the Lord. So, in verse 6, the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb, and this is why Joshua was dividing the land finally. Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and you in Kadesh Barnea. You know, when all our brethren did not believe, we were the ones that believed. And you know what the Lord said through Moses to us. So he said, look, 40 years old I was when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again, as it was in my heart. Well, he didn't need to tell Joshua. Joshua knew it, you know, but he had to tell it. He says, putting out his claim there. He said, well, my brethren that went out with me, they made it hard on the people to mend, but I wholly followed the Lord, my God, you know. And he said, look, today, behold, the Lord has kept me alive all this time. These 45 years, I've been waiting, you know. And today, he said, the Lord has made me yet, I am yet as strong today at age 85 as I was when I was 40. I can still do these things. I can still go in and out for war. I can still run through troops. Oh, yeah. And he did too. You know, and I can still do these things. Both to go in and out for war and to come in as my strength was then. So is my strength now. That's why, you know, we got to keep going. You know, there's this commercial they do here in the United States, the Energizer Bunny is always going, you know, and so we got to keep going. Got to be like that killer. You can't say, well, I'm 70 years old or I'm whatever years old. You're nothing. You know, because this man could do it at age 85. Moses, at 120 years old, his natural force was not abated. His eyes were not even dim. I mean, he was still as strong as he, you know, was when he was younger. So let's roll up our sleeves, young and old alike. Let's get in there. For this work of the Lord is great. That must be done. And you will be doing your part out there. Take the word of God. Take it out. Take the gospel to the people. Take the word. Share the word. Help us invite people to the platform, to the website, to this and that. You know, and you where you are too, you're preaching and the word of God. Preaching the same word. Hallelujah. And bringing in everlasting righteousness, one soul at a time. Praise the Lord. So again, we want to thank everybody, and thank you for thanking us. But we give the praise mostly to God. The God be all the glory. And I just wanted to spend a little time, do a heart-to-heart talk with you today, explain to you what the ministry is all about, where we started, where we are, and where we're going. And one sister raised a powerful Yoruba song yesterday. You know, thank you, Lord, for where you started with us. Thank you, Lord, for where we are. And thank you for where you're taking us. Powerful. And that's our story. Praise the Lord. Now, we welcome you daily to the Walking with God platform. And by the grace of God, we have launched now Walking with God Productions. And Walking with God Productions is busy doing a lot of things, you know, and you'll be hearing it in the future. Brought to you courtesy of Walking with God Productions will be certain things that are coming. To God be the glory. Now, oh Lord, we thank you. I want to pray over the room and just bless everybody in the name of the Lord. I thank you, Lord, for all the workers that you have given us here, that are helping us to do this work of the ministry, that have rolled up their sleeves in one way or another, and been with us, stood with us, and helping us to spread the message of the Lord. It's about him, not about us. And Lord, we give you the glory for the grace, you know, to will and to do of your good pleasure. It all comes from you. So we thank you, Lord, for that. Now, we pray that you will enable our hands to be strong. Say, now, be strong. Go up and get wood and build. Now, we got to be strong. And we got to go and do these things that the Lord is encouraging us and commanding us to do. So therefore, Lord, we pray that everybody will receive grace to be strengthened to do the same. Praise God. Wherever we are, look, God said to Abraham, from the place where you are, look all around you. There are many things to conquer. The more you see, the more I'll give you. And Lord, we thank you for the vision to see more, that we can get more. We're going to get more souls for the Lord. We're going to win more people. We're going to reach more people for Christ. That's what it's all about. And we thank God and thank everybody. I pray a blessing over every hand that is blessing the ministry through their support, through sharing the link and sharing this and sharing that and so on. Everything that you're doing, you know, God is noting it. Behold, I come quickly. Someday it'll be quick. And then my reward is with me. Jesus said, give to every man according as his work shall be. And your work, said the day will try and reveal it by fire. Is it gold? Is it silver? Is it precious stones? Well, I pray that that's the work that we're doing. It will be like that. Be able to withstand. Ha! Glory to God. But we don't want to build hay, wood, and stubble. We want to be gold, silver, and precious stones. So, Lord, we give you praise and we give you glory. And let the blessing of the Lord be upon everyone that are determined in their heart to help us do this work and get, you know, the message out. Bring in everlasting righteousness, one soul at a time, beginning with we ourselves. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We give you, Lord, praise and give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.